pray. Holy, holy, holy Father, we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus. Help us through your Holy Spirit. We don't even know what our greatest need is this morning. We're ignorant of what to even ask for other than you. Every single good and perfect gift comes from you, Father. Comes down from heaven from you, our Father of lights. Father, we are weak this morning, but all of our hope is in you. Our hope is built on nothing less than the blood of Jesus Christ. Father, would you please help me to preach, help my friends that are here and my brothers and sisters in Christ that are here to hear? Would you do a supernatural work and minister to us through your Holy Spirit and protect us from every single fiery dart and wickedness of the enemy that would come against our little children and our seniors? Father, would you help hips to not hurt and babies to not cry? Would you help us to feel okay in chairs and sound systems work okay and minds function to preach and to listen? Father, if you don't, we're helpless. We trust that you will, in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Depression, melancholy, misery, sadness, sorrow, unhappiness, discouragement, dislike, mourning, and woe. It's a list of antonyms for joy. A list of antonyms for joy. For those of you that haven't quite learned what an antonym is yet, children, it's the opposite. The opposite of joy. If you go to the World Wide Web, you'll find depression, melancholy, misery, and so forth as the opposite of joy. So how do we rid ourselves from these bad things like unhappiness and dislike and woe and find joy? How do we get rid of those opposites and find the real thing of joy? Maybe we can blame the person or the people or the institution that seems to be keeping us from joy. Maybe if we're filled with anger and rage at the person who did us harm, that anger can lead to joy. Maybe if we root out those standing in our way, we can reach joy. How do we rid ourselves of these bad things? By focusing on the bad? By thinking about woe and melancholy and sorrows? Is that how we get out of mourning? To constantly think about our mourning and our sorrow and our discouragement? Will that lead us to joy? You probably know the answer to that, no. But what if we just seek joy for joy's sake? What if we just say, okay, well, I can't be depressed or melancholy, so I need to seek after joy, and anything that can get me from being depressed to joy, that's a good thing. Well, that's not an answer either. For there were many a beds in America last night filled with people seeking joy and sinfulness. Gambling boats, the taverns were full last night, and houses are full this morning. Golf courses are full this morning, seeking to drive out sadness and replace it with joy. No, that won't do either. So we can't focus on the antonyms, and we can't just seek joy for joy's sake to get rid of them. So what should we do? I want to look at four particular psalms today. Last week we was in Psalms 90, went blank. That's where we was last week, though. 95, thank you. This week we're in 96. I should have figured that out. We're going to look at Psalms 96, 97, 98, and 99. Four psalms that have themes to them. And I want you to remember that there in the middle of your Bible are these psalms in the late 90s, 96, 97, 98, and 99, that will show you how to drive out depression, melancholy, unhappiness, woe, mourning, and discouragement. That next time you feel all those antonyms and you need or you want joy, I want it to click in your mind, Psalms 96, 97, 98, and 99. Go there for the medicine to cure those ills. And I want to look at four things in these four psalms. I want to look at the source of true joy. And then I want to look at the reason that source produces joy. And I want to look at the ultimate fulfillment of that joy. And lastly, I want to look at the response of us to that joy. So the first thing I want to look at is the source of joy. And it comes in two parts. And you'll find this in all four Psalms, that the Lord reigns, number one. The Lord is sovereign. And number two, that's good news. Just a hodgepodge of verses from these psalms. Psalms 96, 4. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. He's number one. He's at the top. 96, 10 says, the Lord reigns. 97, 1, same phrase. The Lord reigns. 97, 9. For you, O Lord, are most high over all the earth, and you are exalted far above all gods. Psalms 99, 1, the Lord reigns. All of these four psalms point to the bedrock truth that the Lord, Yahweh, God, is in control of the earth and the universe and creation, and that He rules it as a King of kings and Lord of lords, that He reigns, that He's above the earth in every single God. The Lord reigns, the Lord reigns, the Lord reigns. You can't miss that in these Psalms. 96, 97, 98, 99. The Lord God Almighty reigns like a king over every single thing. The second part of the source is, this is good news. Look at this. 96:1, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. 96:11 and 12, let the heavens be glad. Let the earth rejoice. Let the seas roar and all that fills it. Let the field exult. That means jump for joy and everything in it. Then shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy. In the midst of the Lord reigning, we see in Psalms 96, joy and gladness leading to jumping with joy and singing. As we go on in 97:1, the Lord reigns, let the earth rejoice. Truth number one, God is in control. Truth number two, that should make you really, really happy. That should fill you with joy that the Lord reigns. Let the coastlands, the ends, be glad. 97:8, Zion hears and is glad. These are affections of joy. Let Judah rejoice. 97:11, for the joy of the upright in heart. 97:12, rejoice in the Lord. 98:1, sing a new song to the Lord. 98:4, make a joyful noise to the Lord with all these instruments. It's no good just to play the drums and a guitar to bang cymbals. No, make all those work together for a joyful noise because the Lord reigns. All this joy and gladness songs of praise in 98:4 is because the Lord reigns. 98:5 through 8, sing praises to the Lord with a lyre and with a lyre and the sound of the melody, with trumpets and sound of a horn. Make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord. Let the seas roar and all that fills it, the world and all those that dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the hills sing for joy together. It's like just a big, happy, joyful burst of worship because the Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. 99:9, exalter, lift up the Lord. That means with your voice, exalt Him. The Lord reigns, let the earth rejoice. Do you realize that it is the greatest news that should bring us joy and gladness and singing and dancing with every instrument we can imagine, that the Lord is in control, that He reigns, that this should be the source of our joy? Not grandbabies, not a pay raise, but the fact that God is in control. Now I want to think about, why in the world would God sovereignly ruling all things well be good news? Why would that be the source to make us jump and click our heels and be filled with joy? And so I want to look at the second thing, the reason the Lord's reign brings us joy. And this is the theme you'll see in all four of these Psalms. He is a righteous judge. He's a righteous judge. Let's look at those. 96:10, say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. He will judge His people with equity. 96:13, before the Lord, for He comes. For He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in faithfulness. 97:8, Zion hears and is glad, the daughters of Judah rejoice because of your judgments, O Lord. 98:9, for the Lord, for He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity. And 99:4, the King in His might loves justice. You have established equity. You have executed justice and righteousness in Jacob. This is good news. So the Lord is in control. He reigns. The earth should rejoice because He is coming to set everything right. Every injustice will be made right by this just and equitable judge. Every misdeed and every sin that has been committed against a person, He has saw, He has seen, and He will make it right. That should make you happy. That wicked criminals aren't getting away with anything. That wicked police officers aren't getting away with anything. It should make you happy that government people in control that's using it for power won't get away with anything. Putin's not getting away with anything. Hitler got away with nothing. A just and equitable judge reigns over all of creation, and He will make it all right. What happened to you when you was a child, He'll make it right. He has seen everything. And He is just and righteous. This is good news. This is good news that He will judge righteously. Psalms 98:3, He has remembered His steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. 97:10, O you who love the Lord, hate evil. He preserves the life of His saints. When they're done wrong against, He will preserve them. He will deliver them from the hand of the wicked. When you see His children being persecuted, being done wrong, when you see someone oppressing another and taking advantage, He sees it and He'll deliver them. This is good news that He judges. But it's also terrifying news. Here's another theme in these Psalms. This is terrifying news because He sees with a holy eye. He sees with a justice we don't comprehend. He sees with a righteousness that is so far above the heaven as above the earth as the heavens? He's different than us. Psalms 96:9, I want to look at the theme of this being terrifying news, because he sees with holy eyes. 96:9, worship the Lord in splendor and holiness. Tremble before him. Now wait a minute. The psalmist just said, jump and clap your hands and sing for joy. And now he's saying, tremble. 97:7, all worshipers of images are put to shame who make their boast in worthless idols. He sees it. 97:10, he delivers them from the hand of the wicked. So it's good news if you're in the hand of the wicked, but woe unto you if you are the wicked. He will deliver his children from your hand. He will get you. Psalms 98:9, he will judge the world with righteousness and the people with equity. He won't miss anything. He won't be bought off from a friend. He won't be manipulated by a smile. There's no Eddie Haskells that get by him. It'll be just and equitable. He sees all. And so, we saw in 97:1, the Lord reigns, let the earth rejoice. We see in 99:1, the Lord reigns, let the peoples tremble. He sits enthroned above the cherubim, let the earth quake. The Lord reigns, let the earth rejoice. The Lord reigns, let the earth tremble and quake. Why? Psalms 99:3, let them praise your great and awesome name, holy is he. 99:5, exalt the Lord, worship at his footstool, holy is he. Psalms 99:9, exalt the Lord our God, and worship at his holy mountain. For the Lord our God is holy. We see in Psalms 99, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. So he's in control of everything. It's good news that he's going to judge everyone with justice and equity. And it's terrifying because he's holy, holy, holy. That holiness, if you remember, means different, other, set apart. He's not like us. His ways aren't like our ways. His thoughts aren't like our thoughts. Oh, how we can just wipe away a wrong done to us because we love the person that did it. Oh, how many times I've been forgiven as a child or as a husband or as a father just because I'm loved by parents and my wife and my children. But God's not like them. He doesn't look at me and say, oh, shucks, it's okay. I'll get over it. No, he's holy, holy, holy. So the reason this should bring us joy is the same reason it should bring us pause to reflect and wonder where we are. What would a God like this do to an idolater? I want you to look at Exodus chapter 32, verses 1 through 4. The children of Israel have come out of Egypt. They parted the Red Seas, and Moses, as this is happening, what we're going to read about, he's on a mountain conversing with God, getting the Ten Commandments chiseled on stone. And right now, God is on the mountain talking to Moses, showing the people how to live. And at that time, at the bottom of the mountain, they saw that Moses had delayed to come down from the mountain. And the people gathered themselves together to Aaron, this is Moses' brother, and they said to him, make us gods who shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us out of the land of Egypt, we don't know what became of him. So Aaron said to them, this is Aaron's solution to their fear, to their depression, to their sorrow. Take off the rings of gold that are in your ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters. Bring them to me. So all the people took off the rings of gold that were in their ears and brought them to Aaron, and he received the gold from their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool and made a golden calf And they said, "These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you out of the land of Egypt." While God is on the mountain speaking to his covenant people, at the bottom of the mountain, the covenant people are gathering up all their golden earrings. They make a golden calf and they worship it, and they give that golden calf credit for what Yahweh, the Lord their God, had done for them. "Behold this golden calf, behold your God that brought you out of Egypt." That's what Aaron did. What would happen to an idol maker, an idol worshiper? Well, we read in the Psalms, they will be destroyed. What about a murderer? What would God, what this holy, righteous, all-reigning, all-wise, all-knowing God do to a murderer? Let's look at one. In Exodus 2, verses 11 and 12, we see Moses, the man that led them out of Egypt. Before he did that work, one day when Moses had grown up, he went out to his people and looked on their burdens. He went out and looked at Israel being enslaved. And he got mad, and he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew. A Hebrew was one of Moses' people, one of his people. And he looked this way and that. You know what that means? Moses saw his Hebrew family being beaten, and he wasn't filled with rage and lost his mind and went and did something. He went and he looked this way, and he looked that way. In court, they would call that premeditated, planning it out. Moses looked this way and he looked that way, and he didn't see anyone. So what he was getting ready to do, he wouldn't have done if somebody was watching. But he didn't see anyone, and he went and he struck down the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. He went and murdered this man, dug a hole, and hid his sin. That's what Moses did. So Aaron and Moses are leaders in Israel. One makes idols, and the other is a murderer. Now, this is a problem because in our Psalms, if you would go to Psalms 99, this all-seeing, all-wise judge has good news for Moses and Aaron. Psalms 99, 6 through 8. "Moses and Aaron were among the priests, and Samuel also was among those who called upon his name. They called to the Lord, and he answered them. In the pillar of cloud he spoke to them. They kept his testimonies and statutes that he gave them. O Lord our God, you answer them. You were a forgiving God to them, but an avenger of their wrongdoings." So this is all in the context now of the Lord reigns, let the earth rejoice, because he's going to judge and make everything right. And then the psalmist, filled with the Holy Spirit, says, let's use Moses and Aaron as an example. A murderer and an idolater as leaders. He says, you forgave them, but you avenged their wrongdoings. What? I mean, if someone killed your family member or made idols, would you say, well, just kill a goat, kill a lamb, and it'll be okay? That's what a lot of people think the Old Testament says. Somehow God was satisfied with Aaron and Moses because they killed a lamb once a year. And that did the trick and got rid of their sin. But the writer of Hebrews tells us in 10:4 that the blood of bulls and goats could never take away sin. So how can he be just and righteous judge, and that be good news if he's letting murderers and idolaters go? Well, it goes from being good news to the good news. And I want to look at the fulfillment of ultimate joy in the gospel, that Christ bears the sins of his people. In Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, in chapter 53, 6, he says, we've all gone astray, like Moses and Aaron. We've all gone astray. Every single one of us has gone astray to their own way. But the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. That him is Jesus. that when Jesus was on the cross, kids, Moses' sin was on him. Aaron's sin was on him. Moses and Aaron did not get away with murder and idolatry because Jesus got convicted of murder and idolatry and paid the penalty for their sin on the cross. So the good news that the Lord reigns and He'll make everything right is that He sends forth His Son, Jesus Christ, to take the sins of His people and bear them. The ones that went their own way, He takes their sins and lays them on Christ. And He becomes, as John says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Jesus takes away the sins of the world. And as we sang earlier, He made Him who knew no sin to become sin, that we could become righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That Moses can stand before God, this all-seeing judge who will make everything right, and be holy and righteous because the death of Jesus Christ paid for his sins. This is great news. Now, maybe you haven't made a golden calf. Maybe you haven't buried somebody in the sand. But who are we fooling? Is there anybody in here that doesn't tremble when we hear that God knows everything? You realize in His memory there's no private browser. You know that He has a long memory and He remembers your first grade, your third grade. He remembers where He was yesterday. And He reigns. Let us tremble. And yet, in Christ, we are righteous by faith in His death as payment for our sins. We can stand before that judge. Folks, that will lead you to joy. When all that awkwardness, when all that shame and guilt, thinking about He knows everything, and we think about everything we've ever done in our life, and we just want to cower, we can look at Christ and by faith and see it gone and realize that He looks at us now as His children, holy and righteous. And He'll hear us as He did Moses and Aaron. This is good news. This is the good news. Those of us that were condemned to hell rightly can be children of the Most High God eternally. No wonder when Jesus showed up, when He was born, the night He was born, the angel said in Luke 2:8-11, that there were shepherds out in the field and they were keeping watch over their flock. It was the middle of the night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, He didn't say, "The judge is here," although that was true. He didn't say, "He knows everything you've ever done, shepherd," although that was true. He says, "Fear not. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy for all peoples." When Jesus shows up, He says, "This is good news of great joy. The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Your Savior has come to rid you of the things that would rob you from this eternal joy." Even now as Christians, Peter says to us, though you haven't seen Him, you love Him. And though you don't now see Him, you believe in Him. And you rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. Our rejoicing as Christians can't be explained, and yet it's just filled with glory. The joy we get in Jesus, that He says, "My joy will be in you and your joy will be full." Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of this ultimate joy. That the Lord reigns and makes all things right is because we were in debt and we owed Him hell. Christ paid for it, and now we are His children receiving gifts eternally. That's good news. He didn't just wink it away like a good parent, or I don't know if he'd be a good parent that just winked it away. Or like a wife, or like children that says, oh, shucks, we just love them. No, he said, I will get rid of your sin. No wonder we say he reigns, shout for joy. He'll make all things right eternally. We see not only when he came, it was joy. Not only now, we're filled with joy, inexpressible, full of glory. But when he returns, Revelation 21, 1 through 5. I saw a new heaven, this is John speaking, and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth that we're living on right now had passed away, past tense. John saw into the future, and this stage and pulpit was gone. This dirt was all renewed. It was no more. And he saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband, something new. And he heard a loud voice from the throne crying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. This is good news. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. Those of us that are idolaters and murderers and adulterers and liars and thieves and disobedient to our parents and gossipers and gluttonous, us, God will dwell with us, and he'll be our God. We'll be his people eternally in Christ Jesus. He'll make it all right because he's going to wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more, no mourning. No more antonym of joy. You realize eternally, no more mourning. No more weeping. None. All the antonyms of joy are abolished through the blood of Jesus Christ for you eternally if you're in him. No crying. No pain. For those former things are passed away, past tense. And he who is seated on the throne said, this is our God. The Lord reigns. He says, I make everything new. Those of us that have done all these horrible things, this Lord that reigns says, for you in Christ, I make it new. I make it new for you. Write these down. These words are trustworthy and true. He will put an end to all these antonyms. No more depression. No more melancholy. No more misery, sadness, or sorrow. No more unhappiness. No more discouragement. No more dislike or mourning. And no more woe. Rejoice, for the Lord reigns. So should we be joyful or fearful? Which is it? Should we rejoice because he's in control? Or should we tremble? Should we fear? Well, it depends. If you're in Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation for you. None. If you're not, Hebrews 10:27 says, there's nothing left but a fearful expectation of judgment. The Lord reigns. You should tremble if you're not in Christ Jesus. So come to him by faith. Trust in him. Trust and believe that on the cross, Christ is paying the debt you owe for these sins to this judge who sees all things. So those of us that are in Christ, what should we do? What should be our response to Jesus Christ being the source of all joy because the Lord reigns and will make all things right and for us has made it right in Christ? That's the last thing I want to talk about is our response to this joy is to sing for joy to the Lord in Christ for the nations. An overflow of us being filled with joy that a wicked, horrible sinner like me from my youth up can be forgiven and be called a child of God, my response is to be joyful, and number two, let that joy overflow to me, from me, to the world. Look at this theme in the Psalms 96, 1 through 3. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Tell tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations. Tell everybody his marvelous works among all the people. We should be filled with joy for the forgiveness of our sins by this just judge in Christ, and we should proclaim it to the nations. 96, 7 through 9. Ascribe or give to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord glory due his name. Bring an offering. Come into his courts. Worship the Lord with the splendor of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth, everywhere. You realize there's people that don't know this. They're seeking for joy in idols still. They're seeking for joy in the American dream still. They're seeking for joy in a strong government still. We need to let them know, give to the Lord praise to all the earth. 96, 10, 11. We need to say to the nations. That means we have to, it says, say among the nations. Go to them, be among them, and say, the Lord reigns. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. He will judge the peoples. Let the heavens be glad. Let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. We need to get among the nations and tell them it is the greatest news in the world that our Creator God reigns. And He makes everything right in Christ Jesus for those that come to Him by faith. That's our response. 97:1, the Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the many coastlands be glad. Again, the theme going to the nations with this. 97:6, the heavens proclaim his righteousness, and all the people see his glory. And 98:1-4, oh, sing to the Lord a new song. This is messianic. This is talking about the end of all things. When there won't be death, when there won't be persecution, there won't be crooked politicians or crooked police, and there won't be criminals. There's a new song we'll sing someday. He has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made known his salvation. That's good news. He has revealed he is righteous in the sight of the nations. You realize there's folks that don't know he's righteous, and they're seeking for joy in other things. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. That will be said someday. That, like I said, this is a new song. This is messianic, looking in the future, and all the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. That is not here yet. We get to play a part of that in verse 4, to make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth, and break forth into joyous songs and sing praise. We should be filled with joy, for the Lord reigns, and this gospel in Jesus Christ is the greatest news, and it's only possible through a sovereign God. And we must sing this joyful news to the nation. You know somebody that did that in 1719? There was a guy that sat down in 1719 and wrote a song after meditating on these scriptures. And he was looking at the end, when Christ makes all things right, renews all things, and judges all wickedness, and saves his people. But he was also looking at when Christ come as a baby. And that's when we sing this song that Isaac Watts wrote in 1719. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her king. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods and rocks and hills and plains repeat sounding joy. Repeat sounding joy. Somewhere in his study in 1719, he was looking at a mountain saying, that mountain just over and over and over, say, joy to the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord, for he saves in Jesus Christ eternally. And so he wrote it down. And he meditated and he wrote, no more let sin and sorrow grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow. as far as the curse is found. Every part of your being that the curse has affected is redeemable in Christ Jesus. And lastly, he wrote, he rules the world with truth and grace, and he makes the nations prove the glory of his righteousness and the wonders of his love. The nations will proclaim how glorious it is that the Lord is righteous and how wonderful his love is. If you would rise, turn your Bibles to Psalms 97, 1 through 12. We'll read today's text. Psalms 97, 1 through 12. The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the many coastlands be glad. Clouds and thick darkness are all around him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Fire goes before him and burns up all his adversaries all around. His lightnings light up the world, and the earth sees and trembles. The mountains melt like wax before the Lord of all the earth. The heavens proclaim his righteousness, and all the people see his glory. All worshipers of images are put to shame who make their boast in worthless idols. Worship him, all you gods. Zion hears and is glad, and the daughters of Judah rejoice because of your judgments, O Lord. For you, O Lord, are most high above all the earth. You are exalted far above all gods. O you who love the Lord, hate evil. He preserves the lives of his saints. He delivers them from the hand of the wicked. Light is sown for the righteous and joy for the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, and give thanks to his holy name. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we bow before you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and we say, holy, holy, holy are you. Oh God, help us to see the glorious truth of your reign and how that can fill us with joy in Jesus Christ, that every sin that will be rightly judged by you can be judged in Christ, and through his resurrection, we can walk in a newness of life. Oh Father, would you let this truth that you reign supremely over everything fill us with joy at the freedom of the sons of God. And would that hope fill us until the day that it is revealed and all things are completely new. I thank you for these four psalms, Father, that sustain me in midst of the antonyms of joy. Oh God, deliver us from ourselves for your glory. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen.